BGPD takes a network and takes a net mask and gives you the prefix length. So 255.255.255.0 leads to 24 because it's /24, right? This is the IPv4 version, which only has 4 lines of code because the default route is a special case. I tried to show you the IPv6 version, but it unfortunately does not fit the screen here. It's much longer and it's incomprehensible. To most of you, this looks like line noise, doesn't it? It does to me almost. So, filters. You don't want to accept random prefixes announced by peers. As said, you don't want Mr. Small Guy announced to you that, hi, I'm Netflix. Well, maybe you do. Typically, you don't. So, given my background, I tried to make the filter language as PF-like as possible. But that means one big filter rule set, last match wins, which was a mistake in PF already, opposed to all the other, not all, but opposed to most other implementations, specifically the commercial ones. The filter language is a designed language and not an accident that happened along the way. The filters are specifically important on exchange points because everybody peers with the route service, thus putting a lot of trust into the route service. On some exchange points, the filters are automatically generated from the IRR databases. Typically on exchange points, they're either automatically generated from the IRR databases or they don't filter. There basically is no middle ground.
We're still doing it.
Pardon?
3 IXs in Canada are still doing it by hand, at least 3.
There is no middle ground on sane IXs. Of course, that's ridiculous and of course doesn't scale.
I said, we're getting there.
Yes. You're getting taught how the internet is designed. So that leads to very, very big filter sets. I don't have current numbers, but the D6 filter set, D6 is the exchange point in Frankfurt, being the biggest in the world. They were at something like 300,000 filter rules, which is kind of massive. So since we went for this one sequential big rule set, you have to, since it's last match wins, you have to walk them all. And this is a performance problem. It would be much better to have smaller filter blocks which are then applied on a per peer basis. Unfortunately, we didn't go that way. My desire to make this PF-like in this case really went way too far. And the filter performance really is our biggest problem. And this cost us a lot of deployments. When we came up with OpenBGPD, many, many, many exchange points immediately jumped onto the train and started deploying them. And a fair share of them now went on to something else because our filters are too slow. I was kind of surprised to learn that we still have 30% market share on exchange points. Oh, market share. You get the idea. So that was a mistake. I have to add something else because everybody asks for portable versions of OpenBGPD and blah, blah, blah. A Unix machine does not suddenly become a good router just by adding a BGP speaker. We did not just do the BGP thing in userland and be done with it. We extended the kernel to it. We extended the kernel routing table. We added OSPF and OSPF6 speakers. We have a DVMRPD for multicast routing, which is completely irrelevant in practice. And we even wrote, I didn't do it, we even wrote a RIPD for those who cannot let RIP go. RIP is a very old routing protocol which doesn't even know about netmasks. RIP2 does, okay. Still, it's horrible and you don't want to run it. And as I mentioned, we had a lot of changes in the kernel. We added route priorities, we have multipath routes now for load balancing, we have multiple routing tables and routing domains, which is a separate talk. We even have an MPLS stack and the associated label distribution protocol daemon. I didn't do that either, but I absolutely welcome that. Another argument we are frequently being confronted with is the hardware versus software routers. So if you go to vendor C or vendor J, spend a lot of money, You get a little box and think you have a hardware router. This is in most cases just not true. Most of the so-called hardware routers are just PC-like architectures running software. There basically is no difference. To get a hardware router that does the packet processing in a separate data plane, separated from the control plane, you have to spend at least 100,000 euros. That's what, 150,000 Canadian. So up until somewhere around 10 gigabits, software routers are not really a problem. They reach the limit there and you want some headroom. So if you actually handle 10 gigabits, you want to run one of the big things, but most sites handle way, way less traffic. So for all those cases, the PC running OpenBSD and OpenBHPD is fine. The limit, of course, keeps increasing because the hardware is getting faster and we keep tuning stuff. So I suspect there's nobody in this room who would have a problem being limited to 10 gigabits on a core router. I suspect, I might be wrong. The flexibility you get from running an OpenBSD box instead of one of the commercial routers is so much higher. The case that kills it alone for me is the ability to run TCP, to run TCP dump to diagnose problems. The other thing is that you can just install your favorite monitoring tool, route modification tool. I mean, it's a Unix box. You install whatever you want. So the flexibility you get is much better.
And surely you know you can run TCP dump on a Juniper router.
On a Juniper, yes. On a Cisco, you can't. So, status. I'm running out of time anyway. The actual BGP daemon is rock solid. I have not seen it dying in at least 5 years in my setup. The only reports of it dying we got were really, I can't even remember a single one. But not for normal use cases, certainly not.
There was some that Claude and I worked on recently
that must
bizarre.
Be. Bizarre meaning IPv6? No.
No, like
even more bizarre. Yes?
I run OpenBGP, and I'm going to say it was about a year ago or something. One day, there just some routes came in and just completely shafted it.
I remember this. Right.
I don't remember exactly what it was, and there was a specific version, and it was a
yes. And there was one alleged route being announced by someone in Italy. your
cousin. Not me.
No, your cousin. Come on, everybody's cousin in Italy. So it was your cousin. And you're right, we did not handle this correctly either. All the others didn't either. I got away with it because the paths where this route came in, the others filtered this out for me already. But yes, you're right. So there was one case. However, it's still rock solid. What I'm really trying to come down to, the reliability is at least on par with the commercial vendors.
You know, one of the things that I would suggest and that saved me in that case is I was running multiple versions of OpenBSD with multiple versions of OpenBGP on them, and one of them got taken out and the other one kept flying.
That's interesting because that bug was there from day number one on.
Maybe it was what route it was coming in with, I don't know what, but that did protect it.
You might have, you somehow got lucky. Yeah, but this is actually a good point. With OpenBSD and OpenBGPD, it's much easier to have two routers in a failover setup, which is hard to impossible with the commercial vendors. We are pretty much feature complete. That includes BGP, MPLS VPNs, and multiple RIPs, which is basically router virtualization, kind of. Don't make me explain, I'm out of time. It is in use by many ISPs and exchange points worldwide. Actually, there's one very, very big ISP using it internally. They showed me their RIP with millions and millions of entries. I was very impressed. So it's not just small ISPs, it's also being used by the multinational giants you all know. I'm not allowed to tell names here. Of course, acquisition and operation is much, much, much cheaper than buying the commercial ones. And there is commercial support available. By the way, Paul is a consultant. He forgot to mention this in his presentation. So, that's it. Any questions?
Just to add, it's like 20% of the ISPs in the world use OpenReach VDA as a server.
20% of all ISPs in the world?
30-something using Quagga. Then there's Berg, like 17%. OpenReach VDA, and then Cisco has some share, but I don't remember exactly.
Not that.
IXPs, Internet Exchange Points.
There was a video a while back on YouTube, which was a meeting of like IXPs and some dude from it. Actually, it was from Italy as well. He was talking about the deployment of BGPD across Europe. So
I know that it's widely used, but I don't have those numbers.
There was a talk at one of our the RepNCC regional meetings about that. So.
Can you go back to the slide with the 10 gig?
I'm too far, am I not?
No. So, somewhere around 10 gig, software routers reach the limit. What's the fastest you've measured a TPS throughput on an open BGP router?
Out of my head? I don't know.
Anybody?
Unmodified OpenBSD from I think 5.2 or 5.3 time frame was 600,000 packets per second, I believe.
On not exactly fast hardware of that time. Of that time, it's a couple of years ago.
It was very reasonably fast hardware.
Okay, so that's at the minimum packet size, that's less than half.
Of course. For routers and anything forwarding traffic, bandwidth is not all that interesting. It's packets per second.
That's my point here. You imply that you can build something approaching a 10 gig software router out of OpenBSD.
No, but
to use your words, that is a lie.
No.
I'll quote you correctly.
I said you want headroom, so you won't run this if you actually run 10 gigabits, but up until whatever 5, 6, 7, you'll be fine. The 600,000 is from a couple of years ago, that hardware. Since then, we did a number of changes that improved performance a lot. So today, with all these improvements and current hardware, it should be at least twice as much.
Yeah, I can believe it's about twice as much.
And I certainly...
You're at a gigabit now. In the traditional flows, you can see more bandwidth than that.
Let's see what we are comparing with. A Cisco 12,000, which costs more than 100,000 euros, cannot handle 5,000 packets a second if they don't manage to hit their fast path.
They're not the fast path yet.
Exactly, which is trivial to do when I'm the attacker. Trivial. Actually, all you need to do is to set a random IP option which has to be ignored by the spec, and they will not hit the fast path and they're fucked.
But you're in here dissing hardware routers.
No, I'm using the same methods here that they do, like to make the numbers somewhat comparable.
So I was running a OpenBSD without OpenBGP as the core router for some networks. And I was seeing well over 5 gigabits of real traffic.
Sure. Granted, there would be a distribution of packet sizes.
Yeah.
You see something above a gigabit of throughput.
I completely
agree. But everybody in here who's done this knows that the real issue is
packets per second.
Right?
It's PPS. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the main thing we're looking at.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The cost is per packet, not per byte. Absolutely.
But
now, if I'm giving the numbers for 64 byte packets and everybody else is giving the numbers for 1500, this
they lie. You know how they lie.
So you know.
I just wanted to call you on the implication.
Lies, damn lies, benchmarks, marketing. I think you were first.
I was just going to say, what interoperability testing do you do in terms of? Do you have a lab for testing against the systems and stuff, or are you just waiting?
Since we are not modifying it all that much anymore, I have several other routers around. Last not least, I just run it in production. I'm not very afraid of trying something on the core routers either, because it's all redundant. It's seamless failover. So good enough. Claudio has a little app as well.
Actually, the reason I was going to ask is because there's also, like, if you look on Want HTML, there's a thing from Claudio from a long time ago asking for, like, Cisco donations for the IPsec stuff. So
I think he forgot to take this off.
So when are you going to fix your filter performance problem?
That's a very good question. We want to do this for several years, and every time Claudio and I sit down and want to do it at some hackathon, there's something else that interrupts us, and then we do something else. So I'm not making any prediction there.
What are you doing about whatever crazy securing BGP stuff is out there, or is people are talking about and standardizing these days?
What should I do about it?
Implement?
Case by case. I mean, there's no universal answer to implement everything that's been proposed or to reject everything that's been proposed. It's really a case-by-case thing.
Feature complete
with the stuff people ask for. Like, the last big thing that we've been asked for and that we did not have were the BGP MPLS VPN stuff, which we have for a long time now. I don't remember any feature request to implement some standards thing or the like over the last couple of years.
I have one. RPKI.
Yes, you wanted to code that.
RPKI-RTR.
But you wanted to code that.
Sorry?
You said you will code that. Remember, in Tokyo?
I said I might have thought about it.
Which means you're writing it. No, I know this approach.
Well, I work
he attempts it. He attempts it. He sends a horrible patch and expects us to fix it. We apply the same technique. It usually works.
Doesn't sound like a bad idea. Well, I'm on the other side of the fence where we provide the data about that. So.
RPKI, that's basically signed route update. So to verify that the guy who's announcing the route actually is allowed to, makes a lot of sense.
Not for the moment.
Because nobody's implementing it?
It's like the NSSEC. It's like
IPv6. No, it's different because the NSSEC completely sucks.
Thank you. So.
No, I mean, sorry, for DNSSEC, we want the feature, but the proposed solution is bullshit.
I understand, but let's see, from my point of view, I maintain the IPv6 course for the NCC, I maintain the DNSSEC course, and I work on our RPKI, so all the three things I do in my life is shit for you.
No, I said RPKI makes sense. What was the first? Yeah, so one out of three is good. Refocus. So instead of handing this incomprehensible bullshit out, implement RPKI. It's not all that hard. It's just C code. Any more questions, or can we go for beer yet? Oh, I don't drink. Can we go for soda? Tea. Okay, thank you then.